This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We are still continuing, in fact, wrapping up the hadith that we began 3 weeks ago, and that is the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iman consists of 70 odd branches. The highest of it is La ilaha illallah, and the lowest of it is to remove something from the street and the path. And modesty is a branch of faith. And as I had said, we were doing the famous book of Imam al-Bayhaqi, which lists 77 branches. Because time is limited, I will do today what I did in the last lesson, which is to go over very briefly 10 more of the branches of Iman, so that at least we can get an introduction to this beautiful book. And I have chosen some that are overlapping. So the first two is, number one, loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and number two, showing respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam al-Bayhaqi mentions these are two separate concepts, because to love and to show respect don't necessarily come together. There are some people you respect but don't love. There are some people you love but don't respect. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is required as a believer to have both love and ultimate respect for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, the evidences for this are self-evident. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira." We have sent you as a witness and as a warner and as a giver of glad tidings. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, so that you may believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ, and you may support the Messenger. وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ, and you may respect the Messenger. So Allah is saying, you have to respect and support and love the Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad, they will not have iman until they take you, Ya Rasulullah, as the final judge, as the arbiter in all of their affairs. And they accept your judgment and they submit to your judgment without anything in their hearts. This is in Surah An-Nisa. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they will never have iman until they take you as the final judge, and they will accept everything that comes from you. Brothers and sisters, the love and the respect that is due to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is self-evident. Whoever loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has loved Allah. Whoever loves Allah has loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The two go hand in hand. Unfortunately, in our times, there is this new understanding or new trend of Islam. They call themselves the Qur'aniyun or the Qur'anists, and they reject the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say that we only need the Quran. This type of understanding, it is something that has no basis in our religion, because the one who told you the Quran is the same one who told you what is Quran and hadith. You have to trust him. If you didn't trust him from day one, you wouldn't trust the Quran itself. The very book, the Quran, has 70 verses that tell you to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ, whoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. Obedience to the Messenger is made equal with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of you believes, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, until I am more beloved to him than all of his wealth and his family and all of mankind. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came and said, when is judgment day? And the person responded, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, that what have you prepared for judgment day? And the man said, I haven't prepared many good deeds, but all that I know is that I love Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you shall be with those whom you love. We have to be very, very clear to deny the Prophet saying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is to reject Islam. There is no Islam without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those new types of Muslims that want to separate from the Quran and Sunnah and say, we're not going to follow the Sunnah, we're not going to follow the Quran, in reality, they are destroying the religion. And this is what Imam al-Shafi'i 1,200 years ago said. To accuse the Sunnah is to accuse the Quran. To say that there is no Sunnah, we don't have to follow the Sunnah, is to basically reject the Quran. Because the Quran does not even tell you to pray five times a day. The Quran does not tell you to give 2.5% zakah. The Quran does not list anything of the details. It is found in the Sunnah. If you don't have the Sunnah, you can't even follow the Quran. So they go hand in hand. And the hadith of the Prophet that he said in Hajjatul Wada', I have left you two things. As long as you follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my Sunnah. So he told us, he's leaving us two things, the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is the first and the second, loving the Prophet and respecting him. The third and the fourth we're going to combine as well. That Imam al-Bayhaqi says, of the branches of Iman is to seek the knowledge of Islam, number three, and then to teach it to others, number four. So to learn and then to be eager to spread. So you want to educate yourself, then you want to educate others. And each according to his or her level. Nobody's saying you have to become a da'i, a sheikh. But every one of you must educate your family and friends, without exception. Every one of you must preach and teach to your non-Muslim neighbors. Every one of you must teach your colleagues that are not Muslim about Islam. There's a level of Islam you have to learn, and a level of Islam you have to preach. And the more your iman is, the more you're going to want to learn about Islam, and the more you're going to want to teach it. And again, this is a natural sign of iman. And understand this point. Iman means you will want to learn more about Allah and His Messenger. This is a sign of love. You don't love anything until you want to know everything about it. And I've given this example before that, you know, when I'm traveling, I'll call up my children and I'll ask my little girl, what did you have for breakfast? What difference does it make what she had for breakfast, right? But this is a sign of love. You want to know everything. What did you do today? How was your day going? This is a sign of love. To Allah belongs the more perfect example. If you claim to love Allah, where is your curiosity? If you claim to love the Prophet ﷺ, where is your curiosity? What was his life? How did he live? What did he do? What did he say? So a love of Allah and a love of Islam and a love of the Quran will compel you automatically to study. Once you've studied, you will want to teach and benefit others. And again, there are so many blessings of knowledge. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to pray in the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. This is the only matter that Allah asks him to ask more of. He didn't say, give me more money. He didn't say, give me more wealth, more fame. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O my Lord, give me more in knowledge. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever travels on the path of knowledge, whoever travels on the path of knowledge, Allah will make the path of Jannah easy for him. And the student who is seeking knowledge, the angels will lower their wings upon him. And the scholar who is preaching knowledge, all of this is one hadith, it's called the hadith of knowledge. The scholar that is preaching knowledge, every entity of the creation, even the fish in the ocean and the ants in their anthills, they will ask Allah to forgive the teacher of mankind good. And then he said, the superiority of the scholar over the worshipper is the superiority of the full moon over all of the other stars in the sky. One scholar, one moon, a billion worshippers, a billion stars. One moon eclipses all of the stars. Imam Ahmad commented on this and he said, that is because a worshipper, a star, he only gives enough light for himself. He doesn't light other people. But the scholar, one scholar can change the ummah. One scholar can divert the course of history. One scholar can revive Islam in a generation. A scholar is like the moon that reflects the light of the Quran, the light of the Sunnah, and passes it on to mankind. But a worshipper might, as much as he worships, who is he going to benefit other than himself? So the superiority of the scholar over the worshipper is like the full moon over that of the stars. So the blessing of learning and teaching knowledge is three and four. Number five, Imam al-Bayhaqi says, of the signs of iman, of the branches of iman, is to love to read the Quran and to memorize the Quran and to make tadabbur or pondering over the Quran. And this is the month of the Quran, and all of us inshallah have been listening and hearing and reading the Quran. to think over and ponder. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, those whom we have given the book, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, they recited the way that it deserves to be recited. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, every time an ayah comes down, those who have iman, their iman goes up when they listen to it. And Allah mentions in the Quran that وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ, when they hear the verses that have come to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning the good Christians and Jews who are righteous, when they hear these verses, you find their eyes are crying because they recognize the truth. So to love the Quran, to recite the Quran, to memorize the Quran, and to make tadabbur of the Quran is a branch of iman. Number 6, 7, 8, and 9 are the pillars of Islam. Very briefly, we'll go over them because we all know them. Salah, zakah, fasting, and hajj. Obviously, they are of the arkan of iman and they are of the branches of faith. And of course, salah, I wanted to give an entire lecture on it and it is deserving of a lecture. It is the only action in the whole Quran, I want you to memorize this phrase, the only action that Allah calls iman. The only action in the whole Quran, Allah calls it iman. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, Allah is not going to have your iman go to waste. And the reason why this is revealed, somebody asked about salah, and Allah responded, your iman is not going to go to waste. And Allah called iman salah, salah iman. So the two of them are hand in hand. It is the first ritual that was legislated. The second day after Jibreel came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the hadith of Sahih Muslim, he taught Khadija and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to pray. He showed them how to do wudu and how to pray. True, the five salawat were made obligatory in Isra al-Miraj. But actual salah, the concept, two rak'at, any time of the day, was made obligatory the second day after the Qur'an came down. Jibreel came and taught the Prophet ﷺ to pray. At that time it was two rak'at. Later on, as we know, in Isra al-Miraj, it was then increased to what it was increased. And our Prophet ﷺ said, the very first matter that Allah will ask His servant, in another hadith, the feet of the son of Adam will not move until Allah asks him about the salah. If his salah was in order, the rest of his good deeds shall be found to be in order. And if his salah is not in order, then the rest of his good deeds will not be in order. If your salah is in order, then the rest of your good deeds shall be in order. Our scholars say this also indicates, generally speaking, that the one who prays, generally speaking, is doing the other arkan. Like I said, can you imagine somebody who prays five times a day but doesn't fast out of laziness? Doesn't work that way. Can you imagine somebody who prays five times a day but doesn't care about hajj? Doesn't work that way. The one who prays automatically takes care of all of the other good deeds. So salah is an essential rukun. And the famous incident of Umar ibn Khattab when he was stabbed and the doctors told him, you're going to die at the end of his life. And he stood up to pray and his son Ibn Umar said, Ya Abati, my father, you're bleeding. But Umar ibn Khattab said, As-salah, وَلَا حَظَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ, salah is more important. And the one who leaves the salah has nothing to do with Islam. Umar is dying, he's bleeding to death. And yet he sat to pray and he did not give up his salah even though he was stabbed in Fajr. Before the dawn went down, he prayed his Fajr and he died the next day, as we know. But even in that state, but that statement of Umar, there is no share of Islam regarding the one who doesn't pray. And this is based on a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which he said that the treaty that I have with the Muslims is the salah. The treaty that I have with the Muslims is the salah. Whoever leaves the salah has committed kufr. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Whoever leaves the salah, he might as well be a kafir. That's essentially how the hadith is translated. So the point is, salah is essential to iman, and it is of course of the pillars of iman. Zakah as well is of the pillars, as we know. And Imam al-Bayhaqi has an entire, you know, dozens of pages about the importance of zakah. And we know that zakah is one of the five pillars upon which Islam is based. The same goes for fasting, which is the eighth point today. We've mentioned many ayats and a hadith about fasting because it's the month of Ramadan. Number 9 is the hajj. And the hajj, of course, is the final of the five pillars. And it is the only pillar that has more conditions, physically and financially being capable. And it is important that all of us who have not been for hajj make it in our hearts, our niyyah, our desire to go for hajj. Even if you are not obligated to go. You must have the desire to go. Even if you don't have the finances, it should be in your niyyah. Oh Allah, bless me with wealth so that I can go for Hajj. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. It is an obligation that mankind has upon Allah. Allah has over mankind that they must go for Hajj, whoever is able to do so. So there must be a desire for Hajj, even if you're not able to go. As for those who are able to financially, then I warn you, I caution you, do not delay. The majority of madhahib say that it is not allowed to delay the fard of Hajj when you are financially and physically able to go. There's one madhab that says you may delay it for an excuse, but the majority of madhahib say, just like the salah and zakat, once it becomes obligatory, you have to go. So please, brothers and sisters who have not been for Hajj and are financially and physically capable, make it your niyyah that you can go as soon as possible. The final point that we'll mention for today, out of the 10 points that we're going to say, the 10th point, one of the branches of Iman, Imam al-Bayhaqi says, and this is an interesting one, and I wanted to conclude with this one, is the believer follows the Qur'an when the Qur'an commands him or her to count the blessings of Allah and to then thank Allah for each and every blessing. Allah says in the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina aman, O you who believe, udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. Think and ponder over the blessings Allah has given you. So the believer literally sits down as an act of worship and he thinks, what are the blessings Allah has given me? Allah says in the Quran that they think about the creation of the heavens and earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, O mankind, be grateful. I have given you this, I have given you that. Some of these, all of mankind shares. Hearing, seeing, sleep is mentioned as a blessing. Allah mentions in 5 verses the daylight and the darkness. And Allah says, if I had given you perpetual darkness, how would you have slept? If I have given you perpetual daylight, how would you have gone about your day? If I have given you perpetual daylight, how would you have slept? وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Of His mercy, He gave you the night, He gave you the day. Of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He created us in pairs, zawjain, and dhakar and untha. Of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the wind and the rain. Of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, جَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. All of these are blessings that all of mankind shares. Then there are blessings of a religious nature. Iman, Islam, Salah, Zakah, we thank Allah for that. Then there are blessings of a personal nature. The specific blessings you have, your family, your wealth, your health, all that Allah has given you. It is a part of Iman to think about those blessings. Imagine if you had been born in another family without Iman. Imagine if you didn't have a loving family. Imagine if you didn't have the health that you do, the wealth that you do. So it is a sign of Iman to ponder over the blessings of Allah, to make a list of them, and you realize, as Allah says, you're never going to finish the list. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to do so. But the goal is not to enumerate, the goal is to be thankful for what we have. And inshaAllah ta'ala, we will resume the day after tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.